Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 368, Networking and Business Development in the New Era of Social Distancing, with networking expert Julie Brown. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work you love. Gusto, the easy online payroll and benefit service built for modern small businesses like ours. In other words, it's a people platform. And RCAT, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM specifications, and so much more, all for free. Thanks to FreshBooks and Gusto and RCAT for supporting Entree Architect and the Entree Architects community of small firm architects. Julie Brown, welcome back to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's fun to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you. You're always fun to talk to and inspiring. And so this will be a lot of fun. Just to remind everybody, you've been here before. Episode 271, How to Build Your Network by Creating Meaningful, Lasting Relationships. As small firm architects, your episode rung a bell with us, for sure, for sure. So many of us traditionally build our firms on word of mouth and referral. And so networking and building a system for doing it right is critical for us architects, especially small firm architects. And your episode 271 has been super helpful to hundreds of architects around the world. But we're living in a very different world right now. We're living in a time of chaos and social distancing, and the rules of engagement for networking have changed, and the old way of doing things are probably not coming back anytime soon. So we're going to need to find new ways to do this, to network and to connect with people in with these new ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. The old way of doing things are gone.
for now,
but even when they come back,
they'll be
different, right? And so there's a new way of doing things, and who knows when we'll be able to do that. And we can't just sit around with our businesses and wait for the world to get back to normal, whatever that normal is. We need to keep going. We need to keep growing. We need to keep doing what we do. We need to keep business coming in. And so I want to have that conversation about how do we do that today? You're a networking expert. How do we do that today in a time where we're not allowed to have a face-to-face, one-on-one conversation live in a room? And so let's have that conversation. But before we do that, let's jump into your origin story. You talked about where you came from last time. But it's been a while, so let's remind people, where did you discover your passion for what you do, and share that story to where you find yourself today?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because no one goes to college for networking. It's not, there's not a course description or a Bachelor of Science in networking. So you almost have to discover it in the midst of your, what you go through in your career. So I've been in the architecture and construction industry for 21 years now. For the past 5 years, that's been me having my own company. So previously, 16 years in the architecture, engineering, and construction industry as a marketing person, as a business developer. And I was probably in the industry for about 7 years before I took on a dual role where I had only done marketing. And then I took on a role of marketing and business development with an architecture firm. And that was when it clicked for me, where I said, ah, I don't want to be in the office anymore. Like, I want to be out meeting people. I had a love for the fact that I could know everything that was happening in the industry. Like, the more I talked to people, the more relationships I built, I knew what was happening in the industry and I could help so many people and I could bring in so many leads. And all of that came from me being out of the office and meeting people. And that kind of came to a culmination in my mind where I was like, this is really something I could do for a living. When in 2010, and we as people in the architecture industry remember 2010, about 55% unemployment for architects. That was the year that my husband, who is an architect, residential architect, decided to go out on his own. Now, we had had that plan for a couple of years. We didn't know the economic turmoil we'd be facing in 2010. But we said, let's just do it. Like, I know how to network. I know how to bring in work. You're a talented architect. And we launched his firm in 2010. 10 years later, you know, his firm has grown and he's doing the exact kind of projects that he wants to do. And all of that came out of the fact that we had this huge network to tap into when he started his own firm, even though we were in the throes of the Great Recession. So that was like, that one is when I was like, it's all about the people. It's all about the relationships. Yes, there's a barrier to entry. You have to be good at your job. You have to be a good architect. You have to be talented, but it's the relationships and it's the people you know, and it's the people who are referring you that are really going to grow your business.
And here we are again, right? A new recession about to happen. Yes. Although they're talking about it and there's signs, but there's really strange things happening in our economy, right? There's the stock market's going through the roof.
Yeah.
The world around us is sort of, let's say it's adjusting. Mm-hmm. and the economy certainly is going to have an effect. I mean, we've shut the economy down for 3 to 5 months.
Right.
And now we're coming back out of it and we're looking to see what happens. And so there certainly will be an economic downturn from stopping the economy for such a long time. Who knows what will happen after the election? And so we're here again, right? Where we need to understand how to continue building our businesses even when things get tough. And now with the pandemic, it's even tougher, right? And so let's start with the old way, right? What we talked about in 271, building relationships with lasting, meaningful relationships, or networking by creating meaningful, lasting relationships. And how is it different today, now that we can't meet one-on-one? How do we do that with social distancing and being able to do it in a new way?
Yeah, so the basic premise of building relationships are still there. We're still humans. We still have a human condition. You know, we still want to be accepted by other people and build relationships with other people. That's never going to change, no matter if we do that in a personal setting or we do it like we're doing now over a Zoom phone call. Like, the basic human condition is always going to be there. And so prior to March of 2020, when we were all blocking our calendars full of events and meetings and coffee dates and lunches, and we were doing all of that face-to-face, I remember March 17th I live in Massachusetts. So March 17th was the day that they were like, all non-essential workers have to work from home. And I picked up my office and my husband picked up his office and all of his employees went home. And there was this moment of like, well, it's only 2 weeks to slow the curve. That's what we kept being told.
Right.
It's 2 weeks
right.
to slow the curve.
Yep.
And then so everybody sort of put everything on hold. Like,
right,
they're like, okay, well, we'll get back to it in April. And then as April rolled around, those 2 weeks came and we realized that this was going to be a long lasting event. Everybody started realizing like, okay, now We can't put everything on hold. We have to figure out how we use the mediums that we have at our disposal for creating relationships or having our meetings or going to events or expanding our networks. And people got really good at it. And organizations within the architecture, engineering, and construction industry also got really good at pivoting their events into a virtual platform. So a lot of people thought that they were going to cancel their events, and they didn't. They ended up just saying, okay, we're going to put it in a virtual platform. We're going to have breakout rooms. We're going to have networking rooms. We're going to have follow-ups afterwards. And for me, I have been able to get new business during the pandemic. My husband's firm has been able to get new business during the pandemic. I've been able to meet new people and forge new relationships all over Zoom, because the basic effort is still there. You have to say to yourself, okay, networking is not a nice to have skill. I need to put this in my calendar. I need to dedicate time every week for networking and meeting new people. I need to check in with the people in my network and see how they're doing and have that basic human connection with them. Like, all of the basic tenets are still the same. Just because we can't go to an event and have the randomness of meeting someone, that just means we have to be more strategic about how we're trying to reach out to people and meet new people. So we're not going to have the benefit of going to an event and meeting someone really awesome at an event because we were both at that event together. We need to do a little bit of legwork to put ourselves in the Zoom rooms or in the virtual meetings so that we're still meeting people and we're still gaining information and we're still doing lead generation. So all the basic stuff is still there.
So do you recommend that you find virtual networking communities and groups, or is there some sort of strategy that we should be building that ourselves?
So I believe that we all have organizations at our disposal. We, in this industry, we have a number of different organizations, whether that be we have organizations for, you know, environmental awareness, or we have women's organizations, or we have diversity organizations. We have a number of, you know, organizations within our industry that we could be really strategic about. Go on their websites, look at the different programs that they're offering, look at the virtual programs that they're offering, reach out to the programs administrators. So I'm sure they have a programs committee, like reach out to the programs committee and just say you want to learn a little bit more about their programs and how they attend it and what are my networking opportunities within virtual programs. Like, those are valid questions to ask before you invest your time going to an online networking event.
Right. And with small firms, time is everything, yes. Right? We have so many hats. We have only so many hours.
Yep.
And so dedicating specific time to doing this is important, but not wasting that time, making sure that you're in the right place at the right time. So right. Let's say we find a place where we can do this. How do you do it? Like the old way, you would go to a networking event, you'd sort of see somebody across the room and you'd go introduce yourself and you'd start a conversation. How do you do that virtually?
Okay, so I would never suggest, even prior to COVID, I always suggested that people do a little bit of research before they went to an event. Like, try to understand who's going to be there. If you can contact the administrators of the event, ask if you can have an attendee list. Sometimes they give it to you, sometimes they don't. But if they give it to you, like, you can do a level of research on who's going to be in that room. You can be prepared for the people that you want to make sure you meet. A couple of different people that you've been trying to meet for a while, maybe haven't had the opportunity, you can do the same thing in a virtual event. So I would email the administrator of that virtual event and just ask if I could have an attendee list for who's attending so I can do a little bit of research on them, find out how many common connections we have so I can call up my friend Tracy and be like, Tracy, I noticed that you're connected to Joe. Joe is going to be in this networking event that I'm going to be in. Like, what do you know about Joe? What can you tell me? Because when you go into an event, when I get into that event, if I say, Joe, we have a mutual friend, Tracy, I talked to her today. She said, she told me this about you. She said, she absolutely loves you. Like, we have to get together after this pandemic face-to-face. You love wine and beer or whatever, you know, like, just make that event as easy for you to get into as possible. Meaning, do your research before you get into that event. And also, when you get into that event, whether there's 5 people, 15 people, 20 people, 25 people, you know, hopefully the administrator knows that they should ask all of the attendees to change their name on their Zoom block. So it doesn't say iPad 2 or Mac 4, like it actually right. has their name. And what I do during an online event is I keep my notebook next to me and I write down everybody's name. And then when they talk, like a little bit about what they talked about, so that the next day, because follow-up's the key, you know, 80% of building and maintaining relationships is follow-up. So it doesn't make any sense to invest time in an event, whether that event's in person or virtual, and not have a plan for follow-up. So I write down little things that they said and I send them an email the next day. And if we didn't talk, I can say, I was in the event last night. I heard you mention this. It really struck my interest. Or I also have experience with that. Would love to get on a Zoom coffee chat with you about that. Like, these are all of the mechanisms we would use in a real in-person event. Like I said, all those tools, you still own them. They're still in your toolbox. You just have to do it a little bit differently.
Yeah. And you come with a whole new toolbox because it's a virtual event. They don't see what's on your other screens. Now you have access to Google and LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm Googling during the people event. The whole time.
Right. So you see somebody's name, you do a little Google search while the event's happening. Oh, yep. I see a little news about them. Now you know a little bit more about them. There's a whole other level of tools that you can be using to sort of 10x this exercise of networking that you can't do in a live. You can't walk around with a laptop and see somebody's name and start tapping in your phone to find out who they are. Right. And so you have this additional opportunity. You had talked about doing some research prior to the event. Do you recommend or discourage people from making any connections to people who you'll know will be at the event before the event?
No, and you know what? That I appreciate that when people do that to me. That has happened to me a number of times where I've been on an attendee list and somebody will send me an email and I love the way they phrase it. Like, we're both going to this event. It's usually really, really crowded. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to find each other at the event because we haven't met before. I wanted to reach out in advance because we might not see each other at the event, but I want to make sure that we have a connection. And if we don't see each other at the event, let's make an appointment or a date to get together, whether it's virtually or when we're past this in real life. I really appreciate someone taking that effort.
Yeah.
To do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And it gives you the opportunity to make that connection. But now you both have this thing in common. You're both going to this event. And even if you don't make the connection in the event, you have something in common to talk about.
And then if you do see each other at the event, you can be like, oh yeah, okay, right. I'm so glad we saw each other, you know? I would love people to take the fear out of networking. We're all human beings. We all have a fear of rejection. And people need to realize that we're all networking to meet other people. So let's take the fear out of networking. The fear of nobody's going to want to talk to me. What if I say the wrong thing? Like, what if I introduce myself and they don't want to, like, that doesn't really happen in networking. Like, we are all there to network. If you're at a networking event, virtual or otherwise, everybody's there to meet other people. Like, that's your job during that event.
Right. And we're talking about building relationships. You're still building relationships. We will return to our conversation after this quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, FreshBooks, Gusto, and Arcat. There's a lot to love about being an entrepreneur architect, but trying to figure out our financials on our own? No, it's not one of them. Luckily, there's FreshBooks, the all-in-one accounting solution that's built for businesses like ours. FreshBooks takes all the not-so-fun parts of running a business, from building and tracking invoices to organizing expenses to managing online payments. It takes all of that and automates it and simplifies it, saving you up to 11 hours a week in the process. FreshBooks has your back at tax time, too. With a ton of reports to choose from, you'll know exactly where your business stands, and you can easily hand the keys off to your accountant so they can take over when it's time to reconcile everything for the year. So try FreshBooks for free for 30 days No credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/architect and enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section so they know that you came from Entree Architect. That's freshbooks.com/architect and let them know that you're a member of the Entree Architect community. Running an architecture business is hard. Endless to-do lists, employees to take care of, and your ever-present bottom line. So first of all, kudos to you for staying on top of all of it. And as a listener of the Entree Architect podcast, by now you already know about our friends at Gusto. Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They help over 100,000 businesses with tasks like automated payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration, 401ks, onboarding tools. You name it, Gusto made it easy. And they really care about the small business owners they work with. Their support team is attentive and helpful. And since money can be tight right now, you'll even get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/architect and start setting up your business today. And you'll see what I mean when I say easy. Again, that's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/architect. You're going to love Gusto. Get started today at gusto.com/architect. We are well underway here in 2021, and still, no word from most trade shows. We can't wait around for news on which event is proceeding, which is postponed again, and which are canceled. We still need our continuing education credits. And let's not wait until December like we did last year. Let's start planning right now. How are we going to get our 2021 continuing education credits? Our friends at RCAT can help. Along with manufacturer product information, specifications, CAD, and BIM, all free by the way, RCAT also provides a list of over 150 manufacturers with accredited continuing education courses. Start earning those credits today at rcat.com/CES. It's another free resource RCAT provides to make your life easier. Free continuing education credits. Available now at rcat.com/CES. That's rcat.com/CES. FreshBooks, Gusto, and RCAT. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. So let's say we go through a virtual event. We have some names, we met some people, made some connections. You said earlier that the key is follow-up, that that's where all the magic happens. And so I would guess that taking the list of the entire attendance and hit everybody is probably not the way to do this. Right. So what do you do? What do you do after this event? You made some connections with people, you have some names, some information. What do we do?
Yeah. So if you remember in the last episode that we did together, I said that you shouldn't try to kill yourself meeting everybody at a networking event. You should be very strategic and kind to yourself in the sense that if you go into a network, if you network once a week and you go into an event once a week and you meet two new people at the end of a year, you'll have met 104 new people. That's a lot of people. Good for you. Great job. So don't feel like you have to go into an event and have 10 in-depth conversations with 10 different people and figure out how you're going to follow up with them. Like, what I want you to do is be strategic about it. You know, have a couple of conversations with different people in that Zoom meeting or in the regular meeting, wherever we're at, and then follow up with those two people in a really concerted way. Like, this is what we talked about. I really love that you said this. I want to learn more about your business. Potentially, maybe we could collaborate together in the future. You know, don't put too much pressure on yourself to meet everyone at every event, because that's when you're going to start not having conversations that can really be, you know, continued. You're going to be rushing through conversations, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to spend time with people, get to know them, want to continue that conversation, but I want you to do it every week. That's how you're going to build your network. It's not going to be meeting 15 people that you don't remember your conversations with, that you don't know how to follow up with because you can't remember what you talked about. Like, that's not the way to do it.
Right. And you talked about, and you're continuing to talk about being strategic, that it's important to do that research, to understand who these people are, why you're trying to connect with them. One of the things we do at Entree Architect is we have a podcast called Build Your Brand. We have a webinar. We have a 4-week workshop talking about building a brand. And a big piece of that brand strategy is identifying your ideal client, knowing who you should be working with and who you should be working for. That will help you. Once you understand who that person is and you have a clear, really clear identification of who your ideal client is, now you can apply that to this research and say, okay, I'm looking for my ideal client. And so when you're having that research, you're looking for your ideal client. When you're in the meeting, you're trying to identify which one of these people are my ideal clients. The follow-ups should be with people who are your ideal clients, not necessarily to set up a meeting or to set up to get a job. It's you want to build a network of your ideal clients.
And yeah, so, I call them the client avatars.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Yes,
but I don't just do it for clients. I try to, you know, really be strategic about in my network who are the people that really are invested in my success. They are constantly referring my company. They're, you know, every time somebody says, I need this, like, you have to talk to Julie Brown, or if it's my husband's firm, like, you have to talk to Chris. You know, who are those people that constantly are invested in my success? What did I do to create those relationships, and how can I replicate it with more people?
Yes. You know? Right, right, right. And that, I mean, that's exactly the idea behind building a brand. Is that not only can you identify your ideal clients, but you know who you are. You know the story that you're telling, and you know why these people are attracted to you, whether they're consultants or whether they're contractors or whatever, whoever they are, yep. They're attracted to you for a reason. The reason is because you have a brand. You have a brand whether you're building it or whether you're not building
it. I think that's so great that you're doing that, because people don't understand you have a brand and a reputation whether you want to have one or not.
Right.
And with a name like Julie Brown, which is a pretty common name, and there's also two MTV VJs named Julie Brown. Like, you Google Julie Brown.
Downtown, like, Julie Brown.
Unfortunately, yes. if you Google Julie Brown, like, I could get lost in a Google search because there's so many Julie Browns, and then the MTV VJs would come up first. I've done such a great job. I mean, I'm not patting myself on my back, but like,
you have.
I've done a great job. Lot. So that if you Google Julie Brown Boston, I own that Google sheet. And I own the responses because, not just because of my company, but because how high my profile ranks on LinkedIn, as far as how much I work on my profile on LinkedIn and writing articles, because of the book, but also because I've been written about in Boston Magazine. And then I've also, you know, a lot of times my speaking engagements will come up. So when someone Googles me, my achievements are what they see first.
Right.
And people need to realize that that's really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And you built a brand around networking. And I did that Google search this morning. I typed in Julie Brown networking and you pop right up.
Yep.
And so it's clear that you've done that exact thing. And it's super important that architects do that, because if you don't have a brand, then you don't really exist. You don't really, they'll never find you.
And I think there's also something there for figuring out what your niche is. Like, also, like, yes, you're an architect, but what is your niche? What do people say? Oh, that's what that person does that vernacular really well, or they do that really, you know. So part of networking is also being really well known for your expertise. And so networking your way onto panel discussions, which are still happening in a virtual environment, you know, onto panel discussions or different, industry events where you are quoted, where you get quoted, like work with a PR firm maybe, or to get quoted on different industry events. Like, that is super, super important. Networking your way, into a position of authority as far as your expertise is huge. Again, then you own that brand. You own that Google search of you.
Right, right. Exactly. So you again, people, I am a broken record with target market. What Julie just talked about is your target market. You have to understand who are you attracting and who do you want to work for. And that doesn't mean that you can't work for anybody that comes along, but you want to market and talk to and network with a very specific targeted market. And it'll make everything easier when you understand who you are, what your brand is, and who your clients and customers are.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, it's really easy when for younger firms who are solopreneur architects, it's really easy to want to take in every single project that comes in because you're so nervous about like starting your own business and having a portfolio of work. And as you get into your firm more and more, you'll realize that you really need to save space for the work that you're doing to attract your ideal client, because you don't want to be so busy that when your ideal client comes along, you're too busy to take them on, or you don't do a good job for them because you're trying to juggle too many things. And that's a lesson that comes with owning a firm for a long time.
Right, right. And we veered off a little bit because I want to go back to the
sorry.
Following. No, it's not. It's all super important, and it's something that I could talk about for hours. And so it's, I wanted to make sure that we talked about that. But I also want to go back to the steps after we make these connections in the meeting, and we're going to do this follow-up. What should we do, right? We don't want to look like a stalker, right? How do we make that connection after the network meeting? And what do we do with that? How do we leverage that into building it as part of our network on a long-term basis?
Yeah, so I think one thing we need to understand is there's a growth period for every relationship that you have. Each relationship is going to grow at its own pace and bear fruit at its own pace. And statistically, a potential client or somebody to potentially work with you or refer you, it takes 5 interactions with you for that person to decide whether they've established a level of know, like, or trust of you. So think about that. What are the 5 ways I can touch this person what are the 5 ways I can connect with this person and have an experience with this person where I'm reaching out in a thoughtful way? And so there's a number of things you can do. Like right now, golf is still an event you can do. You can wear masks and each have your own golf cart and golf. And I golf for business all of the time. So you can even in conversation ask if they're golfers and they're like, yeah, I'm a big golfer. Like you can say, well, that's something we can still do together. Let's get together. You don't need a foursome. You can go out just the two of you. You know, let's golf. Or you find out that they're really interested in wine or something like that. And depending on where you live, you could have something delivered to them. Like here in Massachusetts, we have Drizzly. They'll deliver anything to anybody, like as long as they're over 21. Like you could have like a really thoughtful bottle of wine delivered. Or if you find out that they're, you know, they had a trip that was canceled, or they're saying like, I got to get out of the United States. Like as soon as we're able to travel, I'm going to go here. Like get them, go on Amazon and get them a guidebook to whatever city they like. There's so many ways you can really, really be thoughtful. And this kind of stuff is minimal dollars. This is $10 to $15. Okay. Except for golf, that costs a little bit more, but like there's so many ways you can show that you listen to them. You understand what is important to them and that you're standing out in a way that other people don't stand out. Like, I mean, it's just, and it only takes a little bit of conversation with somebody to really get those little pieces of information from them. I call them dopamine inducing questions. So dopamine is a neurotransmitter in the brain and it sits in the pleasure center of our brain. And 2 of the lowest dopamine inducing questions are, how are you and what do you do? And so those are usually the 2 questions that people lead with at networking events. So we're going to throw those away for a little bit and we're going to go into dopamine inducing questions. And those are just questions that elicit a dopamine response. People want to answer them. So I always say, Like now during COVID, everybody's like, there's nothing on Netflix anybody hasn't watched because we've all been binging everything. So I'll say, okay, tell me your COVID, you know, Netflix binging top three shows. And so if they're like, oh, I watched Mrs. Maisel, I'm like, oh, you're funny. And then if they say, oh, I watched Ozarks, I'm like, oh, you're really into some dark shit, you know? And then if they're like, I watched these three documentaries, like I know they're into history. Like I can glean so much information from somebody from one dopamine inducing conversation. I could say, did you have any vacations that were canceled? I canceled three vacations, and you would again understand where I like to spend my time, you know, where I might be going next year that I could, you know, follow up and be like, did you reschedule that trip to Barbados or whatever? There's so much information you can glean from what I call these dopamine inducing questions, which are just human centric questions, which is just getting to know that person. And that way, you can really get to those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touches pretty easily because you have so much information to reach back out and be helpful with.
Yeah, it's all about talking about them, right? I mean, you can go right back to Dale Carnegie's How to Influence People, you know, Make Friends and Influence People.
It's so funny you say that because my book has been called The Salty Version of How to Win Friends and Influence People.
I was going to ask about the book because is everything that we're talking about, or at least this stuff at the end here in the book, what's the book about?
I mean, most of it is. There is a virtual section in the book because as I was finishing the book, COVID hit as I was finishing the book. And so I did put some virtual things in there, not a ton, but these basic things like how big should my network be? What are the different stages of a relationship? How to create dopamine inducing conversations, like how to follow up with people to build, like that's all in the book. Yeah.
And it's easy to find. It's called This Shit Works. A no-nonsense guide to networking your way to more friends, more adventures, and more success. Julie Brown, this is a super interesting conversation. Before we wrap things up here, I want you to answer the question that I ask everyone. What is one thing a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
So today, in today's climate, in today's pandemic, you need to know that relationships are not on hold. It seems like a lot of things are like on hold or not the way they should be. Relationships are not. This is when you double down with your network. This is when you make one phone call a day to somebody in your network to ask how they're doing. How are you doing? Are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help? What do you need? Like once one person a day from your network, I guarantee it will change your life and it will change your business if you do that.
Her name is Julie Brown. Julie Brown is a speaker, networking expert, business strategist, author of This Shit Works, a no-nonsense guide to networking your way to more friends, more adventures, and more success. And she's a new podcaster. You can just look up This Shit Works. You'll find it. Learn more about everything that Julie does at her website, Julie Brown BD, as in business development, juliebrownbd.com. Julie, it's always fun to hang out and talk to you. It's always inspirational, informational. Thank you for joining me here today at Entree Architect Podcast.
I'm so glad you asked me to come back. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to episode 368. If you'd like to access the show notes or share this important episode with a friend, the link is entrearchitect.com/episode368. You know, the world is forever changed, and we know that, right? The way we do business is different, but we must evolve in order to continue to grow and progress. And this is one of those episodes that will help us to continue to grow and progress. So share this one. Right? Even during this time of social distancing, we need to learn how to do things differently. And Julie has given us some valuable information here. And this is one that we should be sharing with friends. So if you could, I'd love for you to share this episode with a friend, entrearchitect.com/episode368. Entree Architect is proud to be a partner with the largest, most engaged AEC multimedia network on the planet, Gable Media. Have you been over there yet? Have you been to gablemedia.com, G-A-B-L, media.com. There's a bunch of great podcasts and video channels over there, all about architecture. You should go check it out at GableMedia.com. We're curating thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. That's you. We're building it for you. So go listen and subscribe to all the shows at GableMedia.com. That's GableMedia.com. And check out Entree Architect Academy membership. You should join if you're not already a member. There's hundreds of members already in there. You should come and join us. We're having a good time. We're learning. We have expert training sessions every month. We have ready-to-edit business resources, a supportive architect community on Slack that's not Facebook. And now we also have simple systems. We're bringing out an entire program of new systems developed specifically for small firm architects, and they're free for members. It's all waiting for you over there at Entree Architect Academy membership. Learn more about Academy membership at entrearchitect.com/join. Come join us. Be well, my friends. Be happy. Be healthy. Safe and secure. That's my wish for you. Thank you for listening today. I really appreciate you coming every week and listening. Please share this episode with a friend and love, learn, and share everything you know with everyone you know. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.